I'm AJ Bianco, host of Reflect Ed, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
I implore everyone to find their tribe, to find their family, and to lean on each other.
Welcome to the Leader of Learning podcast. This is where educators can come to find inspiration to transform education through effective leadership. I'm your host, Dr. Dan Krynas, and my research and leadership experiences have led me to understand that someone like you, regardless of your role or your title, can truly make an impact in your organization. I chat with amazing guests who epitomize what it truly means to be a leader of learning. I'm so glad you've tuned in. Let's get started. Hello, Leader of Learning, and welcome into another episode. You know, I have to start with a bit of an apology. After we celebrated 100 episodes a couple of weeks ago, I promised that as a way to give back, I was going to be releasing new episodes, interview episodes, every week. But actually, one of the bright spots to having a pretty popular education podcast is I have a ton of people who want to come on and be featured as guests. And quite honestly, I've been doing a lot of interviews. And so I want to actually get those interviews out even quicker to you. And for the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be coming out with new episodes twice a week. So not only upping it to once, but now twice a week. And so I'm really excited to bring this episode to you as well. In this episode, my guest is someone who I've come to know through the Teach Better Mastermind, and I think she and I share so much in common, especially that she has gone back to earn her doctorate, and it means so much to her as a lifelong learner. Sari Goldberg McEwen is a virtual principal. She is a principal presiding over just the remote learners in her district, and I know you're going to get a lot of value out of this episode as she talks about empathy and making connections and building relationships and building school culture. I can't wait for you to listen. So coming up will be my interview with Sari. My guest in this episode is the Sari Goldberg McEwen, and again, another guest that we've met and become acquainted through the Teach Better Mastermind and have realized that we have a lot in common. Sari is at this point a central office administrator, but I will let her tell you kind of what the more specific role is right now, because I find it pretty unique and interesting. So Sari, welcome to the show. And if you could just introduce yourself and talk about that unique role that you have right now.
Good morning, Dan. Thank you so much for having me here. This is such an exciting opportunity. And as always, I just love our conversations. Yes, I am a central office administrator from Long Island, New York, and I am also the remote learning principal for a K through 12 program in my district, where we have 450 remote learners. And we are lucky enough to have an auxiliary building where we were able to put all of our staff members there for the remote learning program.
So, you know, I know that right now, still school looks so much different for everyone. Some schools have still been remote since last March. I find that crazy. I really do. And I think I'm realizing more and more all the time that I really appreciate those schools who at least have some students back in person, which my district does, and it sounds like yours does as well. But just to clarify, so I think what you mean is you have some students who are in person, maybe in a hybrid schedule, maybe not, I'm not so sure, but those students and those schools have their administrators, their principals and assistants, but you are the principal for just the students who are learning from home, and also, I guess, overseeing those teachers who are together but teaching the remote students. Am I pretty clear on that?
You nailed it. That's absolutely correct. We have an in-person program where our K through 5 students are back every single day, which is absolutely incredible. And then our secondary program, 6 through 12, is a hybrid model where they're on an A-B schedule, and then they are in school one day and then virtual the next day, and so on. And then we've also provided the families in our district and the option to go completely remote every single day, K through 12. And that is the separate program that you just described perfectly, that I'm the remote learning principal for that program.
It's really fascinating because I don't know that too many places are doing that. Correct me if I'm wrong, if you've heard otherwise. I guess what I'm wondering first and foremost, when you describe your position and that situation that the district has set up, I would imagine that probably the hardest part of your job and the teachers that you support is, you know, student engagement and keeping kids attending and engaging all of their remote classes. If it is, you know, talk about that. If it's not, and I'm kind of off here, what else would be the biggest challenge that you might face?
Listen, from March 13th, 2020, that's one of the many challenges, right, that we've been dealing with. But without a doubt, as we've settled into this year, and we're very, very fortunate that, you know, our in-person students are still in person, and we haven't been in a position where we've been forced to go remote completely across the district. Engagement has, without a doubt, been something that we've been working with, and you're nailing it. I mean, it's been something that we've been working through. And it's different because our 6 through 12 students who have that virtual day, the next day we can catch them in person. Hey, what's going on? You know, you weren't participating, everything okay? For us, I've done home visits, masked up, knocked on doors, checked in. We haven't seen you. Is everything okay? The way that we've designed our program is that the counselors that they've already been working with in brick and mortar, we have kept them connected to those same counselors, so they have those relationships. And that, you know, we talk about relationships all the time in Mastermind, right? And being connected and having those relationships is so critical, and now more than ever. So one of the things that we intentionally did when we designed this program was maintained those counselor assignments for each of those students, so they were able to reach out. And we have found that that has made a very significant difference. I have a spreadsheet that I'm working on constantly with the staff where we have these regular check-ins, and we want to know what students, and we have a whole checklist, things that we're looking for, whose screen is not on, whose attendance is not where we would want it to be, who's not turning in work, and what have you done, and what steps do we need to take? And that is a constant, regular conversation that we were having.
You know, I spoke not too long ago to, definitely other members of the Mastermind, one of them being Lindsay Titus. And one of the things that we talked about was basically the similarities between the way that you coach and support adult learners and also students and you know, kid learners. In terms of what you're talking about with building relationships and making sure that whether students are in person or not, are those similar ways? You know, like, you know, whether you're an administrator or a coach like I am and you're supporting teachers, there are ways to do that. Is it similar, though, with students, especially students who are remote?
I believe that it is. I believe I've been fascinated by connections my whole life. What is it about a connection that makes it stronger? And what is it about a connection that makes it disconnect, ultimately? You and I have chatted quite a bit about the fact that I am really enjoying a doctoral program that I'm, you know, going through at the moment. And I believe in the power of relationships so much that I wanted to explore it more. And my study is on empathy and leadership. And I believe that that is, you know, a crux of building a relationship and listening and understanding and finding out what the needs are and how you can help. And I do believe that we as administrators should be supporting our staff in the same ways that our staff is supporting, you know, our students. I'm not sure if you've ever connected with Kristen Nan. She's the author of the book All In. She's a great friend and an incredible educator. And she has that saying in her book where, you know, the staff wants to feel the same way that we aim to make our students feel. So I believe that there are so many similarities and so many strategies that are applicable across the board because it's really all about building relationships.
I love how you mentioned that you've been kind of a student of connections for a while. I would imagine that's both personally and professionally. But the reason I like that you said that is because to me, whether it's on Twitter and social media or even in our Mastermind group, that's how you've started to come across to me as I don't want to... I don't want to say like the mother hen, but just someone who like really values that everyone has those connections and feels a part of something. Where does that come from, and what have you learned about connections throughout the years?
I think it comes from my family. I think that from day one, it's in my upbringing. It's sort of the way I'm hardwired. It's the fiber of my being. Throughout my study of empathy, I have definitely learned that, like anything else, people are naturally born with certain levels, but then it's also a skill set that you can expand upon and grow. And for me, I do think that it's a combination of that's just something that was very, very important in my family, sitting down for, you know, our Friday night dinners and having those conversations, and really understanding and being that supportive family member for each other. And it's something that has just grown from there. I am really humbled and fortunate to connect with you and so many others in our mastermind. And I have so many other groups that I do connect with, and I just feel, you know, you ask what it is that I have learned, and I do think it's something that I have believed in, but I do think that across this time and this journey, especially with the pandemic, it's been reinforced repeatedly that we are better together.
Yeah, and I think when I hear the words better together, of course, I think of, you know, PLN and PLF, even, you know, how we are a professional learning family, which I think those of us who are part of the mastermind are starting to become if we haven't gotten there already. So I think that's really great. How about, you know, we just talked about kind of what you've learned and experienced connection wise throughout the years. How about how your journey as a leader has gone? Obviously, you've gone through a few different positions in your time there, and now you're a central office admin, but you're also this virtual principal. What have you learned leadership wise throughout those roles?
Oh, that's a really, really great question, Dan, because I feel like I have learned so much, and I'm grateful for this opportunity, the being trusted with this remote learning school, something that nobody has ever done. And I would say really listening and really working with the staff and making those collaborative decisions. I do not know everything, and nor do I ever foresee myself being a leader that ever believes that I know everything. And I think that it is critical, especially in this journey where I'm an educator during a pandemic. I'm not a teacher sitting in a classroom during a pandemic. I would never even begin to assume that I know the inner workings of how that experience is going for them. And I do believe that it is so critical when we are making these decisions and trying to improve and grow every single day that we sit down with all of the key players and look at things through all of the different lenses and factor everything in when we're making those decisions.
I wanted to actually ask you a follow-up question, because you said, you know, you've learned so much in terms of leadership that it's kind of hard to narrow anything down. I started asking a couple of questions to my guests, and I don't know, it's been inconsistent at best. But one of the questions that I do like asking, since the show is called Leader of Learning, and I really value the fact that anyone who's an educator is a leader, from classroom teachers on up to superintendents, and well, heck, now we have a new, Department of Ed, education secretary, who I would finally get to call a leader versus the one that used to be in there. But anyway, that's political and we're not going to go there. When did you realize in your journey that you were a leader, and maybe not just a classroom teacher, or I don't, when did that happen for you? When did you realize that?
I don't know. I'll let you know when I do.
That's a great answer. No, I like that. That's good. How about this question? Would you consider yourself to be more of a disruptor or a change agent?
Both.
Ooh, you're going to have to explain that one.
I do believe in being a change agent in the sense where, you know, I'm looking to change things in, you know, in a way like I just described, right? That collaborative effort where I am looking for the different lenses and making those decisions together. But I'm also the one who is starting conversations into that environment and forcing that shift in conversation to sort of disrupt things. I am always looking to push our limits and to grow. So I do believe in doing it in a procedural way and having that collaborative sense. But I also believe in enforcing those conversations into that room.
Let's talk now. So we've talked about your role and connections and your work with, you know, building and maintaining relationships, even a little bit about your leadership journey. I'm actually wondering, because it's been a while, I think, since I've talked to anyone on the show about your doctoral journey. Again, we've had side conversations about the similarities between our experiences there, even joking that we've enjoyed in somewhat of a sick way, enjoyed the journey. Why is it important? I know the answer to this, but for the listeners, like, why is it important to you to take that journey?
The journey of learning for me has just been something that I crave. I have 3 master's degree. I always joke with my husband that when I retire, I'm going back for my law degree. I truly, truly enjoy the process of learning and becoming better and growing. And it really is fun.
Now, was there a point in your life or your career where there was like a switch that got flipped, or have you always been someone who really enjoyed learning like that?
I've always enjoyed it as an adult. I can't say so much when I was going through my K-12 public school career. I feel like I look at so many students and I can connect with them on so many different levels, right? Because you see their potential and you also see how they're not applying themselves. And I think that was me. And I don't know how much I truly enjoyed. But when I was able to own my learning, and when I went to college and I went to NYU, and the culture there was a culture of other learners who just genuinely enjoyed what they were doing, it was contagious and I found myself there.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm similar in the sense that I didn't love learning as a K-12 student. I was a good student, not great, I was good. And actually, this reminds me of, man, an old episode of the show, an interview that I did with Star Saxstein, where we talked about, you know, playing the game of school. I do think in a lot of ways, K-12, I played the game of school. By the time I got to college, man, I nearly flunked out of school. That was a different story. I thought my education was coming at that point more from life itself and not the classroom. But I think for me, it wasn't until I really got into or came back to education and went through the courses that I needed to go through to become an educator, that's really what triggered me in terms of, oh yeah, I love learning about this stuff. Keep it coming. How about any, sticking with that topic of, you know, being a lifelong learner, how about books, resources, people who have really meant a lot to you on your leadership or your lifelong learner type of a journey?
There are so many people that I am fortunate enough to have in my life throughout this journey. I would say first and foremost, my parents, they have been an integral part supporting me every step of the way. You know, there's nothing you can't do. Oh, you got this. Go and do it. And it's amazing when somebody believes in you. And I think about that as an educator. You know, when we believe in our students, Livia Chan from our, and I know that she's been on your show recently as well, she and I talk about that, how we believe in our students until they believe in themselves and how powerful that is. So my family, I'm so grateful for them. So many professionals that I can speak to that I learn from and I'm inspired by. George Kiros, read all of his books. He is somebody that I've connected with. He's speaking in my district next year. I truly look up and respect so much of what he has done. You know, as far as my doctoral journey, I've connected with Helen Reese. She is a Harvard associate professor who is a phenomenal expert on empathy. So she has definitely been an inspiration for me. And then really at the heart of everything, those individuals who are with me every single day, you know, I love how you called it the PLF, right? Your professional learning family. I have my EdCamp Long Island planning team. I have my Read to Lead Voxer group. I have my Teach Better team. I have the Mentor Roundtable webinar series. So I have these different pockets of individuals that I'm really so grateful to connect with. And you know, we have our Voxer group where it's throw a question into the group and you get 20 people responding and supporting you and talking you through it. So I would definitely say, you know, the PLF that we have is phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a coincidence that in so many of the more recent interviews that I've done, especially, you know, there's been this thematic pattern of the words like relationships, connections, PLN. You know, I think that definitely education as a whole or leadership is those are areas where it can be isolating. You can feel lonely. You can feel maybe even attacked sometimes. And unless you have those networks that can support you, and as you and I talked about, even being a doctoral student as well, it's going to be tough to navigate. As a matter of fact, the PLF term, the first time I think it was uttered, or at least the first time I heard it, was in sort of a mini opening keynote speech that Sarah Thomas from EduMatch made at ISTE in 2017 or 2018. And that's actually, you know, I'm going to give a nod to Sarah here too. That organization was really what helped connect me to lots of people through Twitter and Voxer and really start growing my PLN. And when I look back at, you know, February, so it's been about 4 years, 5 years now. It was like February of 2016, I think, that I jumped on to EduMatch. And like definitely since I did that and really became connected and really built up this network, there have been so many awesome things that have happened, especially to me professionally. So I appreciate you bringing that up. Before we wrap up, is there kind of anything that you wanted to mention that I haven't talked about, or maybe that you wanted to use this platform right now to say?
I think that connecting with you has been an incredible part of some of the experiences that I've had this year. And I'm really grateful for Teach Better bringing us together along with the rest of our group. And for me, those relationships are key. And I think that especially with everything that we have all been going through, and right now there are a lot of individuals who are having that COVID fatigue, which I do believe is real. I do believe that we are better together. And I implore everyone to find their tribe, to find their family, and to lean on each other.
Excellent way to wrap this up. Speaking of finding your tribe and connecting and all that stuff, how can people connect to you?
The best way would probably be on Twitter. I believe that you will be sharing my handle in the show notes. It's sgteach_sari. I would say that's probably the best way to connect with me. I have my website, sarigmcewen.com, and my email address is there as well.
Excellent. Definitely. Thank you so much for your time. I know we will continue to talk, but I'm really happy to have the opportunity for the listeners of the show to get to know you and to hear your message as well. So I appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Thank you for the opportunity. It's always great connecting with you, Dan.
Well, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't done so yet, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast app. Also, if you enjoy the content shared on the show, please recommend this podcast to other educators, leaders, friends, or anyone you think would love listening and learning. I would also appreciate it if you would leave a positive rating and review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, or whatever podcast app you use to listen. For more information about me or this show, head over to leaderoflearning.com. While you're there, you can also find the Leader of Learning blog, how to connect on social media such as Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Voxer, sign up for our newsletter, and even find out how to purchase Leader of Learning merchandise. Thanks again, and remember, no matter who you are or where you are, you too can be a leader of learning.